This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. USDA out with their World Ag Supply Demand Estimates Report, or WASDE, from the National Ag Statistics Service. We'll break those down with Rich Nelson of Allendale in just a moment. Speaking of numbers, USDA economist Mark Kenner with a trade update.
Agricultural exports for fiscal year to date, October through March 2024, $94.4 billion, down 6% from the previous year. Agricultural imports through March 2024 were $101.3 billion, up 2% from the previous year, for a trade deficit of $6.9 billion, which is down $8.2 billion from the surplus of last year.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Rich Nelson, Rich's chief strategist with Allendale, headquartered in McHenry, Illinois. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, happy to be back. Thanks so much for inviting me here. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's see. USDA and the National Ag Statistics Service out with another World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report, or WASDE report. Let's see, when you start looking at it, any surprises?
Well, we can say at least one. Well, actually, let's throw two good things in there. One thing on the corn side, with USDA's a little more optimistic demand estimates posted here today, they gave us a new crop starting point for ending stocks of 2.1 billion bushels. That was smaller than the trade estimate of 2.3. And remember, back in February, they're talking 2.5. So we now have a discussion where maybe with a risk-on story, we can maybe get a little surprise as far as upside discussion for corn. Wheat side of things, we're also a little surprised, not exactly by their U.S. balance sheet numbers, but by the fact that they now have non-U.S. countries, so all our competitors, they now have us looking at a net decline in stocks for this discussion. So for corn and wheat, we can find good news. Maybe for the soybeans, USDA is still holding out with some pretty large numbers in the short term here.
Let's kind of jump in, dig a little deeper on the wheat side, as harvest in the U.S. is underway for hard red winter wheat. As that starts moving its way north, we'll be watching prices. We'll be watching export sales. What does USDA say we need to be watching?
So as far as USDA's numbers here today, just for the wheat side of things, we will point out, like you mentioned, we've got a winter wheat production estimate out here this morning, as well as all wheat. So this wheat balance sheet is live. It's a little different than corn or soybeans, where they're still using trend yields. Discussion for us on the wheat side for this year, though, is a lightly higher supply issue. This is true for soft red as well as our discussion for hard red. Total winter wheat production, 1.278 billion bushels. Keep in mind that's about 30 million over last year's crop as well. So lightly higher numbers there. Discussions as far as the wheat balance sheet from an ending stock number. You know, we're going to go in this case from this 688 million bushel number for last year, now 720 or now 766. But again, I'd actually like to focus to the world numbers. Of all things, USDA is now the smallest estimate of everybody for Russia. Now, 88 million tons. Heck, last year was 91.5.
And let's kind of segue now over to, and you've already mentioned this, but corn. And projection again, 3% down from last year's record. But again, a slight change in yield as well.
That sure is right. And keep in mind here, of course, we always start out each year at trend yield. And that's what you'd expect if you have normal weather, so at average temperatures and also average moisture. Now, given the summer weather forecast, we have to admit that there will be some problems reaching trend yield this year. But really, that's not the main question. We've had this lightly threatening issue as far as summer weather in place for some time. The question is, will any moderate disruption, let's say 2, 4, or 6% off of that trend yield, will that be enough to change the large supply story? It probably won't, but it certainly can, maybe different than soybeans, give us a psychologically tighter viewpoint on a summer risk story than soybeans here.
One of the other things that I kind of was looking at on the corn side of this, ethanol. We've got to really watch ethanol, and we've seen some positives in ethanol demand globally, but will that mean we could see more corn going to ethanol here in the U.S.?
And that's a question here. So USDA gave us a small surprise in today's numbers. For the oil crop side, they added 50 million bushels, not just to exports, which we actually disagree with here at Allendale. They also added 50 million bushels to corn for ethanol, and that's okay given how we've had a very strong production pace, 6% over last year through April. The question and concern we have right now is that recent weeks, three of the past 4 weeks, have seen a pretty good drop from prior aggressive levels. So USDA is okay for right now on that ethanol side, but we would have suggested maybe need to hold that back for another month or two here.
Have I lost my mind here, or have I been seeing on X and other social media platforms flooding in Brazil? Are we seeing some weather-related issues in Brazil, or am I just imagining things?
No, we certainly are. This far southern state in Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, they've received over 10 inches of rain across the board in the past couple of weeks. Most areas actually quite a bit heavier than that, especially near the population centers. They have death loss numbers and displaced people, which are just outrageous. For our discussion on these grains, you're probably looking at a small amount of first crop corn still out there left to harvest. We estimate about 600,000 tons. That's not a market mover. Maybe for soybeans, where you can argue maybe 4 million tons still outstanding, that's where you can certainly argue maybe a little more of a discussion as far as a moderate price impact here.
Good place for us to then segue over to soybeans, because anytime we're talking about Brazil, it seems like we're talking corn as a competitor or soybeans. Will they be a big competitor in 24-25?
And they certainly will. And we're, of course, playing the two different crop years right now. We're still trying to figure out this crop, which is coming out here this spring, as well as we saw USDA's numbers out here today with some first estimates for that 25 harvest. Now, as far as the discussion with the spring discussion, well, we knew they wouldn't be really cutting crops too much for either Argentina or Brazil. They've been slow walking these numbers, and they've made it clear they will be different than the private trade as well as Brazil's own government. So for right now, we still have a significant discrepancy between USDA and everybody else for this discussion with Brazil, and a little discrepancy on the Argentine corn side. So this is an issue which still implies they're going to be heavy competitors. The main question, which we're still not answering just yet, is how significant of a competitor.
When I look at the quick sheet that is released by NAS for this World Ag Supply Demand Estimates or WASDE report, we see quite a bit in there. We see the wheat, we see the corn, we see the soybeans, rice, sugar, livestock. One thing that I think I missed in this one was highlights on cotton. Did NAS have any changes at all when it came to the cotton side of things?
And this has been something which has, of course, been of a lot of interest. Now, as a precursor for a lot of our audience, remember last year's crop problems and certainly concerns here with yields a little bit there. So lower acres plus some light yield hits, that brought ending stocks down to 2.4 million bales, almost half the prior year's level. Now, for today's discussion, USDA did give us their first numbers for new crop wheat or new crop cotton, and no real major changes in acreage versus last year, but maybe some areas which have changed are this discussion with demand and whatnot. That helped them, in this case, give an ending stock number of 3.7 million bales. So last year, 2.4, this year, slightly more adequate, 3.7.
One of the other things I think is kind of interesting, you and I talk about the livestock numbers every once in a while, but we've dealing with HPAI in dairy, and some believing that could really put some pressure on demand, but USDA says we're going to have more milk to begin with, right?
That sure is right. So a lot of questions about this issue. And as a reminder, often what the trade believes and what actually is going to happen are two separate things. One thing to keep in mind, of course, is we really have not hurt the nation's milk production on this discussion. So far, all the authorities still consider U.S. milk to be safe. No issue with that. And also, we know historically, consumers don't make lasting changes to demand on the meat side based on virus or disease scares. So yes, it is 100% true. USDA actually increased their estimate of 2024 milk production on this report. Now 227 billion pounds. Last month, they were just thinking 226.
Now, as we wrap up, obviously good moment to stop and talk a little about Allendale. If you haven't been to the website, it's allendalehub.com. That's allendalehub.com. But what's happening at Allendale that those who don't know need to know about?
You know, as far as that special website you mentioned, we've spent the last few months getting a whole lot of things put together. So we now have an easy access area on that website, not just for our own commentary, which of course comes out every single day, but we also have every single USDA report that comes out. We have a summary of that. Everything from weekly ethanol production, weekly export sales, domestic crush, all that issue here. So as far as the website, we're now making it a one-stop shop. And certainly as we look forward to this coming year of marketing meetings and in-person meetings, which are really going to ramp up midsummer and beyond, looks like we're going to have a lot of interest in this discussion. So keep in mind, as far as our discussion, not just the website, but our general arguments here for markets, we certainly would suggest in these next few weeks, this is probably the time of year to get the remaining marketing done for old crop and be more aggressive on new crop starting points.
Glad you ended there because it works perfectly into your title, Chief Strategist with Allendale. It's Rich Nelson. Again, online, allendalehub.com. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist with Allendale.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Rich Nelson with Allendale. Online, allendalehub.com.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Over the last couple of years, U.S. ag exports have faced some headwinds, but have remained above their historical averages. And
we're hoping we're going to have another strong performance with U.S. ag exports this year around the world.
Daniel Whitley runs the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. He says exports for the first half of the fiscal year, October through March, are at just under $94.4 billion, 6% below the same time frame a year ago. Whitley says one of those headwinds hampering exports is the strong U.S. dollar, which makes our products more expensive for foreign buyers. But Whitley says that's just one factor. The other one is simply supply and demand.
What we've seen is the South American crop rebounding from 3 straight years of poor weather. They came and had a historical crop, like a once-in-a-generation crop. And that crop really competed with what we were doing here.
And still is. So U.S. ag exports, again, are running 6% down, imports 2% higher than this time a year ago. Gary Crawford, Washington.